I have a question written at the top of my notes this morning. My notes are often just bullet points that try to keep me from going down too many rabbit trails while I preach. And so I do not write out a manuscript of my message because, frankly, I'm not that good a reader. And so if I was trying to read my message, I would have to get better at reading, and that's just something I'd have to go back to the Dick and Jane books, because I think I flunked phonics definitely and had that navigating that in my life as growing up as a kid was never a real positive thing. When you got called on to read out loud, I often got real ill when that happened. So I guess that's a confession or whatever this morning. But I bullet my message. I don't manuscript my message because it's hard for me to stand in one space, number one, and then to go ahead and try to find out where I'm at and keep up where I'm at. So the question that I have written at the top of my notes this morning is this: what motivates you? What motivates you? And if you study what motivates humanity or what motivates people, it comes down to really two ways we are motivated. One is the intrinsic, they call it, motivation. That's something inside of you that's motivating you to do something. And so there's an energy or a condition, and we're not talking that it's a positive or a negative thing, it's just a thing. We're not trying to assign it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, or it leads me down a good road or it leads me down a negative road. It's just intrinsic. It's just something inside of you that motivates you. And then there's extrinsic, right? So there's something on the outside that's motivating you. And maybe that would be something like you're going to get a bonus at work if you meet a certain level. So that's an extrinsic motivation. Something on the outside. I've been motivated by external forces before, especially when I knocked over a tree that was full of bees. See, that's extrinsic, okay? That's great motivation to get away from the bees. And so that's on the outside. And often we will say you're either moving away from something or you're moving towards something. And again, we're not trying to assign a positive or a negative. It's just a thing. That's what motivates us. It's the externals or the internals. Or I'm moving towards something or I'm moving away from something. I'm going toward this item or I'm going away from this. And they can be intrinsic and extrinsic as well. But that's what often is with something on the outside or something on the inside are the only real two ways that we are motivated. So what motivates us? What motivates us? And do you ever just sit down and ponder those thoughts in your own life? Why do I do what I do? Why do I do this? Why do I respond this way? Or do you ever, why do I not do some things? I hear something that I want to do, and then I have no motivation to do it. Why don't I do that? Why don't I eat healthier? Why don't I drink less coffee? Do you ever they're the simple things perhaps of life, but why do you ever just sit down and ponder why I do the things I do or don't do the things I do? Because reality is it's intrinsic or extrinsic. It's either I'm moving toward or I'm moving away. So what motivates you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see Paul is greatly motivated. He has a high motivation. Something is motivating him to a great level. And what is that in his life? And I think if it's been recorded for all of time, it's been recorded for you and I, maybe it's a valid motivation. Maybe it's something we can say, God, I want that to motivate me. I want it to be maybe on the outside or the inside or a combination of the two. Can you imagine being motivated by intrinsic and extrinsic all at one time? And I think that's what Paul is experiencing here. Paul is experiencing great motivation. Look what he says, though I am free and I belong to no man. This is a choice that he's making. This motivation is moving him. I am free. Nobody is forcing me to do this. I am motivated to do this. I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And then he goes on and he continues to explain that motivation. And he goes on to the next verse, verse 20, he says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so I can win those under the law. So he's giving up some things. He's got this win word that he keeps using here. I want to win. So I am motivated to win. That's what his word is all the way through here. I am motivated and I become like a Jew or those under the law. I'm not bound by the law, but I walk inside the law because I am motivated to win some. And he continues in verse 21, he continues with this. To those having the law, I became not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. Why? So I could win those not having the law. Interesting in his motivation. And he says in verse 22, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I became all things to all men, that by all possible means, I might save some. So he's got this win he wants to. He's motivated by getting something that he considers will win people. He's motivated by something that he thinks will save people. He's got this highly motivated movement in his heart and in his life that's making the calls in his life. He said, I'm not, I'm a free man. No one is forcing me. No one is paying me. No one is doing that. It's this intrinsic and extrinsic motivation that I'm having in my life, and in my heart, and in my soul that's causing me to do this. So those people that are different from me, I don't always point out how they're different from me. I take it sometimes so I can be motivated, so I can get into their life to win and to save whatever he's motivated by, has the ability to win and to save people. And then in verse 23, he says this, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. What my motivation, Paul says, is that will win people, that will save people. It is the gospel that does that. I do all this so that the advancement of the gospel can go, so I can advance the gospel, so I can move this gospel down the road. I'm only here for a season of my life, but while I'm here, the gospel is going down the road. And I'm greatly motivated to get the gospel in my turn in all of history. I'm motivated to get the gospel down the road, to get the gospel into people's lives. The gospel, he says, will win and save. The gospel will win and save. So I became all things to all people. I give up my rights because my rights have nothing, because I am motivated by the gospel. Are we motivated by the gospel? And I've wrestled with that statement all week in my own life. Am I motivated by the gospel? I'm only here for a season of life. And sometimes if someone would live to be 80, 90, or 100 years old, it's like, wow. But it really is such a blimp on the radar. But why we're here, Paul says, why I'm here, I'm telling you what I'm motivated for. I'm motivated by the gospel, because the gospel is going to win people, because the gospel is going to save people. And no other entity in all of this world's got that much power. And I am not going to waste my time trying to get a few more dollars in the bank. I'm not going to waste my time by seeking something that's not going to save and win people. I am motivated by the gospel, he says. And I'm going to get it down the road. As long as my life is here, I'm getting the gospel down the road. I am motivated for the sake of the gospel. I'm moving it forward. Does the gospel motivate me? Just so you know, statistically, 96% of people who are active in a church who claim to be a solid born-again Christian, 96% of them will never share the gospel with anyone. If I look out over this crowd right now, I'm telling you, that's about eight of us, eight of you will be active in sharing the gospel. The rest of us won't. This entity that God has given us, this power that God has given us, this thing that Paul says will win from all walks of life, will win people, will save people. I wonder sometimes in the church if it's motivating us. We are the only ones in this world that have the gospel. The church is the only one that has the gospel. The world doesn't have the gospel. Walmart doesn't have the gospel. The church is the only one that has the gospel. We're the ones responsible for the gospel. We're the ones privileged to carry the gospel. Does it motivate us to get the gospel down the road in our time of history? So we can give it to the next generations. So they can see what it looks like. So they know what it's like. So they can experience the gospel that will win, Paul says, that will save. This morning I just want to answer the question, man, perhaps, what is the gospel? And I'm going to use the word gospel. I'm going to use a G-O-S-P-E-L this morning. You know what the gospel is? Number one, the gospel, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is this. It is the gospel. Put it back, please. I need to read that. See there, that's in my notes. I went right by it. The gospel means good news. I got that. Amen. The good news is the grace of God being released through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But what is it? What does that grace look like? What are the intricate parts of that releasing of that grace that comes through Jesus Christ on the cross? Something that was so powerful that it took the death of Jesus for us to have a hold of. In Ephesians, it says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is a gift of God." The gospel is a gift. The gospel is a gift. The gospel is a gift that God has given the individuals, but he's also given it corporately to the church. I've given you a gift. You get to give out a gift. A gift that's already been paid for. I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking, will you give out a gift, God says, bought and paid for? What an honor to give out a gift. If I could come in here with a whole crate of new firearms, and I'm just going to give them to you, say, you get to give them anyone you want. Go, here's 20. Go bless somebody with 20. Go bless somebody with this. Here's a new car. Go bless somebody with a new car. You get to give them that. You get to give them that gift. And God says, I have obtained the greatest gift of all, and I have given it to you, church. Will you just give it out? Will you just give it out? Will you just give the gospel? The gospel has already been purchased. The gospel is not limited to those who can afford it because it's already been bought and paid for. People show up at our house and they want to know if we want to put new windows in our house. God bless those people that do that. Because I have a feeling they don't get treated very well sometimes. You know, they kind of come up here like, it's like the police, you know, they don't stand in front of the door when they knock. You know, they kind of knock over here because they don't know who's going to kick it open. But they come, and the first question, one of the first questions when you're interacting with somebody that wants to sell you new windows is this: do you own the house? Because you know why? Because if you don't own the house, you ain't buying any windows. See, their product is only for those homeowners. Their product has this limitation to people that own their home. Their product only has one audience. The gospel only has every audience. Paul said to the Jews, to the un-Jews, to the lost, to the weak, to the strong, it's all, it's free because it's a gift. Will you get motivated, church, with the gospel? It's a gift. Can I give it to you to give to somebody else so you can win some, so you can save some? Does that motivate me? Does that motivate us this morning? That God puts such a powerful gift. The gospel is for the rich and the poor. And I love the way the Bible says it in another passage. The gospel is for the rich and for the poor and for the sick and the healthy. The gospel is for the strong and the weak and the Greek and the Jew. The circumcised and the uncircumcised, or the religious and the non-religious people. It's for the barbarian and the Scythian, just so you know what a Scythian is. It makes barbarians look like Girl Scouts. They do. It's for those people that you walk across the street to get away from them. It's for them too. It's for the barbarians and it's for the Scythians. It's for the slaves, those caught in slavery, those caught in addiction, those caught in a mess, those caught in an ugly divorce, those caught in a jacked up life. It's those people. That's who it's for too. You don't have to ask them if they own the home. It's for them. It's a gift.
Come on now.
Will you just give it out? Will you let it motivate you that you don't have to wonder if the next person you walk by on the street, or the next person that calls you, or the next person you deliver wood to, or the next person that buys potatoes, or the next person that walks into your office, if you don't have to wonder if the gospel is for them? It is for them. And you and I get to give it out. So the gospel is a gift. Colossians says this: God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is an opening.
Amen.
The gospel, this free gift, is an opening, and it's an opening into the kingdom of God. It's an opening into what God wants to do in someone's life. It's the gospel. It's this gate that gets in, that lets people step into the presence of God. When we stop expecting people to act like born-again believers, act like people who got it all together when they're not even in the kingdom.
Amen.
I get so sick of that in my own life. He should buck up. He should do this. He should do this. And God said, so should you. And you didn't do any of that stuff until you walked into the kingdom. Because the gospel is an opening into the kingdom. God doesn't clean fish before He catches them, as the saying goes. But He opens up the kingdom to everybody, the barbarians and the Scythians. Well, sometimes it might be rough sitting next to a Scythian and worshiping on Sunday morning that's just stepped into the kingdom. Give them a break! You wouldn't want to sit next to me the first Sunday either. And God says, I'm giving you the opening. Another passage of Scripture said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Here, church. Poof. And you're going to open up the kingdom through the gospel. You're going to open up the kingdom for... Woo! We're not talking tiddlywinks here. We're talking kingdom of God. Does that motivate me that I've got the keys, that I've got the opening to the kingdom of God, that I can give this free gift to those that are around me? and I never have to wonder if they're a homeowner or not, what God's got is for them. Am I motivated by the gospel? Are we motivated by the truth that the gospel is an opening into the kingdom of light? You know one thing, and this is just a little bit of a rabbit trail. You know one thing I think that the church in general has forgot? What it feels like to walk in darkness. I don't know, but that's something that God gave me. And He's giving me that sense over and over and over. He's given me the feeling. Do you know what it felt like? Do you remember what it felt like to walk lost? Do you remember what it felt like to walk in the kingdom of darkness? Do you remember what it felt like before you were the kingdom of God was open for you and you stepped in because of the gospel? Do you remember that what that was like? I do. He's given me a very vivid memory of what those things were like in my mind, in my heart, in my life. I wonder if a church as a whole, we forgot what it feels like to be lost. And so we lost reality with the lost world. And we're not motivated by the gospel that will open up the kingdom to people. Something you don't even have to pay for. Something that's already been purchased. Romans 10:15 says this, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." And just so you know, I didn't add the exclamation point. That's from God. How beautiful, he said, are the feet of those who bring, translate, gospel. The gospel is so shareable. It's so shareable that it's so easy to share. We sometimes make it so difficult. God says, I'm going to give you something that's a free gift, and I'm going to give you something that's not, you don't have to have a theology degree. Even colorblind guys can share it, because I'm going to move the colors far enough apart so you can even tell the difference in the colors. I thank the Lord for that. It's so easy to share. That you can do it with five simple colors. I want this to be so easy that you can share it just with five simple colors. I'm going to give you a yellow color just so you can talk about, just so you can say, God loves you. He's got a kingdom for you. God is so amazing. The value of this relationship with God. Let me just speak that into your heart. Just by the color yellow. But then I can talk about maybe the sin in my life and the sin in your life that's separating you from God. I'll talk about that. And how much God has taken care of that. And I'll get to the red. I'll get to the red one. And I'll talk about the cross, and I'll talk about what Jesus has done on the cross, how He's accomplished salvation for you and forgiveness of sin, how He's done that for your life, and how He wants to do that more and more and more and more and more and more in your life. He wants to do that. He wants to make you white as snow. He can take a jacked up life, and He can get it off the jacks and get it back on the road. He said, I'm making this free gift that opens up the kingdom of God so shareable that you can do it with five different colors. That you can talk about the love of God. That you can talk about sin that separates us from mankind. God loves you. You know that. He loves you so much. And He knows that you've got a problem. He knows that you have sin in your life. But don't worry. God's taking care of that sin. He's taking care of it in a very powerful way. The blood of Jesus, the work of Jesus on the cross, is going to make you white as snow, will give you the forgiveness in this relationship with God, and He'll put you in the green pastures. He'll put you in where you can grow in Him. I'm not that good of a person. It doesn't matter, Brian. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It matters how good you of the God He is. And He's a good, good God. I heard at Zach Reichert's funeral yesterday, God did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He said, I'll give you just simple five different colors. Just so you can tell, and just so you can share that with people around you, because the gospel is so shareable. And just so you know, we have a whole table of these that are going to be dragged out in the entry when you leave. Please take them. It's all explained on the card here. Take the cards, take the colors. Because I'm highly expectant that you're going to get to share it with somebody. God said, I put something so powerful in your life and so powerful in your midst and so powerful in your hands, so powerful that it's a gift and it opens up the kingdom of God, and I placed it in your hand so simply that you can share with five different colors. Church, what more do you want? I think God's saying. Are we motivated by the truth that the gospel is shareable? Romans 1:16 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. He said, you got a gift. You got some keys to the kingdom. You got a simple way to be able to share it. And what you're sharing is the power of God. That you don't have to wonder if it'll take care of anybody's issue. It'll take care of their issue. It'll take care of their situation. It'll take care of their sin. God's power is more powerful than anything you've ever done. His love trumps it all. He said, it's the power of for salvation. There is no fine print. There is no except clause. There is a power for salvation. It does it all. You don't have to know. Say it, say it, say it. Do it. Done deal. Because God did not send His Son into this world to point His finger at this world. He sent His Son into this world that He can bring salvation to mankind. Woo! The gospel is power. It is the power of God. It is the power who will take the sick and make them well. It is the power that will take a Scythian and a barbarian and bring them into the fold of God. And transform them into disciples of the Most High God. Amen. It is the power who will take the weak and make them strong. It is the power who might take the arrogant and make them humble. It is the power that gets it done. It is the power that gets it done. And I put that in your hands, church. I put this gift, I put this keys to the kingdom that will open up the kingdom. I put it in such a simple way that you can share it even with your 3-year-old grandson. And I put it in your hand, and it is the power of God. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure, this power, this gospel in jars of clay to show that its all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You may be hard-pressed, but you can't be squeezed to death because the gospel is in you. I heard Chris Reichert say at her son's funeral yesterday. She stood right here in this very spot. And she said, I'm challenging you. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. Get a relationship with Christ before you get into the darkness of life and into the trials of life, because you're going to need it. Why are you going to need it? Because it is the power of God that's going to allow a mother to bury her youngest son. It is the power of God who's going to allow her to stand here and give testimony of how God has met her in the most dark hour. A mom should not be burying her son. But because the power of God was in her, she can proclaim it. God's the vine. We are the branches. And God said, I'm going to do it in your life, and I put it in your hands. I put it in your hands. Push the button, please. Are we motivated by the truth that the gospel is the power of God? Revelation 14:6 says this, when I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to who? To all, to those who live on the earth, where every tribe, every nation, every language, and every people, not just the homeowners. The gospel is eternal. You know why we can celebrate a believer in Jesus Christ when they close their eyes for the final time on this earth? You know why we can celebrate that even though we grieve? You know why we can celebrate that? Because the gospel goes beyond this physical life. The gospel carries you into the very presence of God. And he said, church, I've given you that. I've given you this eternal gospel that lasts for all times. The gospel is good now, and it will never fail. And it will never fade. It will never fail. It'll do what it says it'll do. It'll take you from here to there because the gospel goes there. Are we motivated by the truth that the gospel is eternal? Because you know when they come to sell windows at our house and they have Anderson windows, and we have Anderson windows in our house. I said, well, we have Anderson windows in our house. Yeah, but they're pretty old. You know what that tells me? They're starting to fall apart, is what you're telling me. See, they're not eternal, even though they're the same thing. He wants to sell me new ones. You never have to sell a new gospel. It is eternal. And John 10:10 simply says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus is speaking. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The gospel is full of life in the here and now as well. Life is here. Direction is here. Healing is here. Courage is here. Purpose is here. Husbandness. I know it's not a word. It is in my dictionary now because I added it. Wifeness is here now. Parenting is here now. Because the gospel contains life for here and now. Will you take it? Will you take it, church? Will you take it? I have put this so powerfully in your hand. Are we motivated by the fact that the gospel is life? Paul says, I became all things. Nobody's forcing me. It's just this intrinsic, extrinsic thing that's going on in my life. I can't help it. Because I know what the gospel is. The gospel is a gift. The gospel is an opening into the kingdom. The gospel is so shareable. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is eternal, and the gospel is life. Does that motivate you? If that doesn't, maybe this will. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. Do you understand that there's a defense out there when we're on offense that's trying to stop us from sharing the gospel? That grinds my teeth. I go to the dentist and he says, do you grind your teeth when you sleep? I said, you're the dentist. He says, you do. said, maybe you need to take a chill pill before you go to bed. The enemy is trying to stop us. And just to be honest, I think he's winning. Or endeavoring to win. Thank you for the one that just shook their head no to that statement. You are right. He's not winning. But he's playing hardball. Push the button. I got two more. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It's getting it done. They tell me that the greatest movement of the church and the greatest growth of the church happens to be in China. God's getting it done. Do you want to be a part of what God's getting done? Acts 20, 24, and I'm finishing with this. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Dot, 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 here's the task. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. How about it, New Life? Will we let God motivate us by the gospel? Listen, we'll still be farmers and truck drivers and business owners. We'll still be retired, and we'll still be workers, and we'll still be IT people. We'll still be nurses, and we'll still be doctors, and we'll still be service people around this community. But are we motivated by the gospel? I'm going to really challenge us this morning to, when that table gets pulled out, please. Well, I'm going to give one to my mom. I know she's going to get cranky. She ain't going to get any less cranky if you don't give it to her. I'm just telling you. I heard a guy say one time, I want to share the gospel, but I'm afraid I'll screw it up. And the guy says, they're on their way to hell. It's kind of hard to screw that up. Stand with me today. God, I want to be motivated by the gospel. I know I'm a pastor. I know that my day is often filled with good things, with things that you've allowed me to be a part of people's lives. It's full of funerals and weddings, and it's full of meeting people in the darkest hours. It's full of phone calls that I'm celebrating with someone else. It's full of making financial choices and seeing if we can get a roof. And it's full of all kinds of things. But Father, I don't want to be motivated by whether I need a new roof. I want to be motivated by the gospel. Because if I'm not motivated by the gospel, I'm not going to talk to the roofer. I'm just going to get a roof. And I'm not going to see the doors you open for me to share the gospel. Father, help this body of believers agree with the one head that shook. There ain't no way the enemy's winning. Father, thank you for giving the church such a powerful gift. Keys that open the kingdom. Something that's so shareable. Thank you that you've given us something that's so powerful that it's labeled as the power of God. Thank you for giving us something to give out that's eternal, that'll branch from here into all of eternity. And thank you for giving us something to give out that's full of life in the here and now. Thank you for giving us something that is growing and moving throughout our world. Father, may you find us motivated by the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.